Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. A Harvard doctor and filmmaker has taken up some profound themes in his first feature film about aging, dying, human connection, and sex in a retirement home.
So many things we can't do anymore. So little to look forward to. Yet we still try to live our lives scared to death of dying. Trying to stay young, some crazy ideas. You know, Abe, we're still the same as they are, no matter how young they are, because we're friends.
That's a clip from the new film Abe and Phil's Last Poker Game with actors Martin Landau and Paul Sorvino. This was actually Landau's last film, but the first fiction feature by writer, director, and doctor Howard Weiner. His day job is neurology professor at Harvard Medical School. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
And so what I would like to do is start by with a clip of the movie. And this is where Abe and Phil first meet. And so let's set this up a little bit. Abe is played by Martin Landau, Phil by Paul Sorvino. And here's the scene where they first meet when they're sitting at a meal in the retirement home. Let's listen.
You got a half hour? Cataracts, diabetes, sleep apnea, stenosis of the back, four slip discs, cancer.
Wow, sorry to hear that.
What am I going to say? I'm passing through, I'm on vacation.
You're looking tough.
Abe, there are three ages in life, I think. You're young, you're middle-aged, and you're looking good.
So I'm wondering, Dr. Weiner, why make a movie about life in a retirement home?
Well, I think that life occurs everywhere, and I've seen a lot of old people, and I think there's a lot of drama. I think there's a lot of deepness, if you will, to life as we get older, and I wanted to capture that.
And I read an interview with Martin Landau where, and this was, we should say, this was his last film.
Last film, exactly.
Before he died last year. And he said that this film is a doctor's look at life in a retirement home, not Hollywood's look. Do you agree with that? And what do you think he meant by that?
I know what he meant. We talked about this. And many times when Hollywood portrays old people or looks at a nursing home, they look at up at people, they put the old people on a pedestal, or they look down at them and they make them like children. And I wanted to look at them straight on. And it's a doctor's view in that I understood their conditions, life as they were confronting it, and I wanted to make it very real. I wanted them to be real people.
And so do you think that based on your experience in dealing with elderly patients, do you feel that this is a, would you call it a very accurate portrayal of life as you know it for folks who are elderly?
I think so. Actually, people who've seen the movie, many of them say, oh my God, I had my mother in a home, this person over there, and that's what it looks like. But I wasn't trying to portray what a old folks' home looks like. I was trying to portray the life and the drama and the issues that an old person confronts when they're in this situation. That's what I wanted to convey.
What's the main one, do you think?
The main
issue that you think that an elderly person in that situation is confronting that you wanted to portray on film? Why was that important?
They lose their independence. They lose their connection to their lives. They lose being an individual. And I wanted to show that and how these characters fought against that. And that even though they were in that situation, by becoming friends, they were able to be like boys who were young. That's what I wanted to do.
Speaking of which, I saw an interview, a YouTube interview with Martin Landau about this film because it was his last film. And he said that you became a film director in your 70s, which he felt was good because you didn't know that it's hard. Was it more difficult than you expected? And that's life,
That's right. It was more difficult. Maybe my naivete allowed me to do it. When I started the film, I had written a script, and I met a director of a teacher of film at Emerson, and I mentioned to him, well, I have this film, and I've written, and I want to direct it. And he said to me, yes, and I want to do brain surgery. Now, he subsequently has been in Hollywood with me when we did interviews and everything, and people say, how could you do it? How could you? Weren't you afraid? So in a way, I was afraid. Obviously, working with these stellar actors was very exciting and also very challenging.
Was it difficult being, you have very, very, as you said, very good actors in this movie. Was it difficult being a first-time person and not being intimidated, carry out your vision as opposed to what these experienced men were bringing to the table, right?
Absolutely. You know, in science and in medicine, you're always kind of true to what's real. Does a person need this medicine? Does this experiment work? And I was able to direct and interact with them by going what I thought the vision of the film should be like and trying to be true to that.
I wonder, how do you feel now that Martin Landau apparently told his daughter that he considered your film to be one of his greatest performances?
That brought me a great deal of joy, that a great actor and a wonderful person, Landau's just an amazing guy, could get so much. And he, most of his films, and he won Academy Awards for being a supporting actor. And here he was the lead actor. So that was a gift I was able to give to him. I didn't write it with him necessarily in mind, but that really brings me a lot of satisfaction.
Hmm. And sex and sexuality is a huge part of this film. Abe and Phil frequently talk about women and sex, and the movie involves an issue of paternity, right? So what are you trying to say about sex and the elderly here?
So I'm actually not trying to say something about sex and the elderly. What I'm trying to say, or why I did this, is that sex is one of our driving forces of our lives. It's contained in all of literature and movies and songs, etc. And just because you're an older person in a home doesn't mean that that doesn't exist. And I think that's very important, because I think connection to other people, life is not easy. And as you get older, it becomes harder. And I think connection to other people is what gives meaning in life and is the way we fight against what happens to us as we get older.
Hmm. You know, this is so different. Just if we go back to the sex scenes for a minute, the sex scenes are very different from anything anyone would expect to see in a Hollywood-type movie. And it might make some people uncomfortable. They ever make you uncomfortable?
It did. When we put them in there, and I've watched the movie with many people, and I know each scene that's coming, and I cringe a little bit as each of the sex scenes comes on, and then I wait to see how the audience reacts. And in general, they reacted how I hoped they would. A little bit of shock, a little bit of interest, but then coming to terms with it. So yes, even I felt a little something every time I watched it, and of course when we filmed it.
Right. You know, I also thought that there was a kind of a, you know, mixed view about aging in the film. On the one hand, you are saying that people need connection and love and have desire and want potency throughout their lives, and people can bring wisdom and experience and connection and all of those things, but also how difficult it is and what a loss people feel as they get older. Were you trying to show that ambivalence in the film?
No question. And it starts with the opening scene where the doctor, Abe Mandelbaum, Martin Landau, is leaving his house. And the house is empty, and he looks at his stethoscope, and he looks at all the things, and he realizes everything that he's losing. And it's not easy. One of my friends saw the film, who's himself a doctor, and he says, Howard, I didn't like to watch that scene because I'm afraid when that happens to me.
But also, was there supposed to be a message of hope as well?
No question, a message of hope. And the message of hope is that life goes on, is that there's friendship, is that there's excitement, there are challenges. And the tagline for the movie is, it's never too late for life. So it wasn't too late for the characters to experience life in a very intense way, even though they were in this nursing home.
Howard Weiner is a neurology professor at Harvard Medical School. Abe and Phil's Last Poker Game is his first fiction feature-length film. For more information, go to our website, radioboston.org. We wanted to go now to the biggest story from the Olympics this weekend. It's from a team that has essentially put a stamp in women's sports history. That's U.S. women's hockey. The team defeated Finland last night 5-0, and now they're advancing to the finals where they'll compete against Canada for the gold. Tara Sullivan is a sports columnist for the Boston Globe, and she was in the stadium during Team USA's win. She joins us from South Korea. Hi, Tara.
Hello.
So what was it like in the stadium after the U.S. women's hockey team beat Finland?
Oh, it was a great scene. I mean, it was a really action-packed game. The U.S., you know, got going early and got the crowd, which was behind them anyway, even more so into the game. And a real sense of anticipation for a gold medal rematch with Canada, because when Canada would end up winning later in the same night, you know, this is a fantastic rivalry and two great teams. And so the energy was pretty high.
But also the story behind the U.S. women's hockey team, they challenged and won in terms of getting pay equity for women athletes, despite, you know, the risk to their own achievements. How do you think that affects the team's performance?
Well, I found that a fascinating part of this story. This is a team that stays together, plays together a lot, even more so than on the men's side. But even more than that, taking a stand together and being willing to sit out the World Championships, which is what they were willing to do back in March, it just bonded them in a way that is hard for, I think, outsiders to really comprehend. They risked a lot. They had to believe in each other. They had to trust each other. And I don't think there's any doubt that that translates even more strongly onto the ice. Listen, it's not a magic pill. It's no guarantee, but it just forges connections and trust and belief in each other that I think is even a little deeper than it would have been without that having happened.
And let's just briefly talk about skating. Figure skater Nathan Chen redeemed himself this weekend after he stumbled last week. Were you surprised that he landed 6 quadruple jumps and ended the night in 5th place?
The whole building was surprised. The jump was one that he decided to add on his own. Going to bed the night before, he had been so disappointed with so many falls in the short program that, you know, like any kid, he kind of said it to himself, what the heck, you know, and I'm going to add this. He actually said screw it to himself. And it was a fantastic program. It was a bring the house down moment. It was kind of an odd setting because he did go so early in the night because of where he was in the standings. But it was a surprise to everybody, and it was very impressive.
And Mirai Nagasu, another American figure skating, she competes tomorrow in the ladies' short program very quickly. Does she have a chance at medaling?
She does. She does. If she busts out that triple axel again, there's absolutely a chance she could sneak in bronze and who knows what else.
All right.
Absolutely, she has a shot.
All right. Well, Tara Sullivan, sports columnist for the Boston Globe. To read her Olympic coverage, go to radioboston.org. Thanks, Tara, for being with us.
You're welcome.
And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.